Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Akun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me are my co-hosts, the OG, Ryan Whitfield, and the godfather of Football Garbage Time, Scott King. Hey, Ryan. Hey, Scott. How you guys doing?
How's it going?
Doing well.
All right. So, listen, we know we all love football here. I think that's no surprise to anybody that all we want to do is talk about football. It is Football Garbage Time after all. But March belongs to the madness. March belongs to the NCAA men's basketball and women's basketball. But I'm going to talk about men's basketball right now. I just filled out my bracket, guys, which I was just talking to Scott about pre-show, how it's going to probably be busted by tomorrow, you know, because that's my luck when it comes to picking brackets. But I'm interested to know what you guys think. So let me start with you, Scott, here. I know you picked some brackets, too. What do you got in terms of who's winning the NCAA March Madness?
Yeah, so in the end, it ends up being a chalk. So I'm going with UConn. They always seem to pull it off when they're in there. Early upset.
Going to the favorite.
Early upset I've got, which is probably not as much of a sleeper as I thought before, is Stanford over Kansas with the injury to Kansas's number one player. That's not as much of a sleeper pick, but we'll actually be at Stanford in 2 weeks doing an official tour with my sidekick here at the house. So
nice.
Little connection there.
So that'll be interesting to see if Stanford actually wins. You should go pick up a T-shirt while you're out there, because I'm sure they'll be like round of 8, round of 16 or whatever, you know, so Sweet 16 or round of 32, I guess, if they only win one. But yeah, man, that's awesome. Hey, Ryan, what do you got here? You got UConn as well going all the way?
Yeah, but only because of my lack of knowledge, man. I live in the Northeast. We don't watch college sports up here. The fact that I watch college football makes me an outlier, and it's only simply because I love football as much as I do. But March Madness is fun for what it is, but the overall college sports hype up here is not very strong usually. So I didn't do a bracket this year, but when I do, I'm always flying blind by the seat of my pants and just guessing anyways. So I'll go UConn with the back-to-back just because they're the most local team here.
Yeah, and you know, and the funny thing about it is that you going blind probably is as good as the most senior bracketologist at ESPN, because it is absolutely a crapshoot. No one ever comes close to picking all the right teams, and picking upsets are just totally like out of left field. Okay, but that being said, I will give you my two upset specials, and it's not going to be a surprise to anybody who does brackets year in, year out, because it's a 12-5, it's a 5-2, you know, everybody knows that the 5-12 is where all the upsets occur. I'm picking Grand Canyon over St. Mary's, a 12-5, and I'm picking James Madison over Wisconsin, another 12-5. Even though Wisconsin almost beat Illinois in the Big Ten championship, I don't think they have I think they're going to get surprised by James Madison, who's been really good. So that's my two upset specials. And you know, I'd love to be. I went, as some people know, I went to Illinois undergrad, so I am a little bit of a homer. I do have a miracle bracket, dream bracket, where Illinois wins it all, which was never going to come true. Okay, so don't come at me on that one. But I do think that Houston has a pretty good shot at it if it's not going to be UConn. So, hey, you know, that'll be fun. But anyway, that's enough NCAA basketball. We probably just went a little bit too far here, because we got too much NFL stuff to talk about today. We are going to be talking about new locations for backup QBs, some of the best and worst moves over the last week since our last podcast, some draft pick trades, and much, much more. So, you know, it's time to get this thing rolling. All right, so there are lots of notable trades and free agent signings over the last week. We're going to go through that in a little more detail in a second, but let's talk about the quarterbacks first, because since the last time that we're on air, there are a lot of movement in the quarterback ranks, but these were backup quarterbacks, I think. I mean, I guess you can say maybe they won't be in the future, but just to name a few, and then we're going to get into it a little bit. Joe Flacco gets signed by the Indianapolis Colts. Justin Fields, of course, gets traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a really interesting one to me, being a Bears fan. Sam Howell goes to the Seahawks. Kenny Pickett joins the Philadelphia Eagles. Jimmy Garoppolo, with the two-game suspension, joins the Los Angeles Rams. And, of course, Desmond Ridder gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for Rondale Moore to the Falcons, which actually might be the more interesting part of that trade. But let's just stop there for a minute. And I'll start with you, Scott, about this, because I know you wanted to talk about Desmond Ridder a little bit anyway. But tell me about these quarterbacks here. Which of those quarterbacks benefited the most with where they landed? And which team do you think benefited the most from the quarterback they managed to sign or trade for in that group?
Yeah, I was trying to remember, and I didn't get a chance to look it up. I don't remember this many quarterbacks moving. And then the fact that all these guys were starters and are now backups were
right.
Part of signings and trades is just kind of bizarre. I think the team and the guy that benefited the most to me is Joe Flacco. Right, he came off the couch, had a really solid end of the season.
Right.
You know, there was a ton of hype around Anthony Richardson and could he mm-hmm. play quarterback, and he had some flash, but he got hurt. And
right.
I don't think the fact that he got hurt surprised too many people, at least not me, just the way he plays. So, you know, does Richardson come back? Does he develop as a quarterback? Does he get hurt again? I think we see Joe Flacco play meaningful minutes for the Colts this year. For some reason, be it injury or just Richardson struggling. So I think he benefited, and I think Indy now has, you know, a lockdown backup that they don't have to worry about,
right.
You know, huge drop-off if something happens.
Right, right. And obviously Joe Flacco, really good for Michael Pittman. I mean, if he gets in there, and we know how Flacco likes to just huck it downfield with reckless disregard for defense, it plays well for Michael Pittman getting his numbers if that happens. So it could be interesting to see how that turns out, but by all accounts and purposes, Anthony Richardson probably coming on back. I don't know if you guys saw this on social media, but apparently some guy broke down on the highway and had a problem with his, like a tire problem, and then Anthony Richardson pulled over to help him. Did you guys see this? This was like going around social media. That's awesome. The one guy who stopped by Anthony, did you see that, Ryan?
I did not.
Okay, well, there you go. Obviously, you are the smarter one of the three of us. You're not paying attention to social media. But Anthony Richardson pulls over and helps this guy. What a great guy. I like that. And he was wearing a LeBron James t-shirt from the looks of it, which I thought was pretty cool. All right, Ryan, let me turn it over to you here. So we got Flacco to the Colts, Fields to the Steelers, Sam Howell to the Seahawks, Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, Jimmy G to the Rams, and Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals. Of those quarterbacks, what do you think? Which one of those quarterbacks do you think benefited the most with where they landed? And which team do you think kind of benefited the most from the QB they signed or traded for?
Well, first I'll say I don't know if I'm the smarter one or if Elon Musk has just ruined the way my Twitter feed looks. And I'm not
both.
An Elon Musk hater, but my Twitter feed was 100% before he took over. Now it sucks, but either here or there. Well, I'm gonna you know, stick to my normal here and be a ray of sunshine and say who benefited the most, who benefited the least. Who cares? There's a bunch of group of stuck. This is rearranging the deck chair on the Titanic, and
nice.
And this time the Titanic's also on fire as it's sinking.
Cool.
this is a ton of movement. But I mean the secondary stuff this week. You know, I just. This whole offseason, you guys both pointed out a ton of movement of quarterbacks. The money's ridiculous. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins is the only notable movement in the quarterback grouping in the last 2 weeks, in my opinion. I don't think the rest makes a lot of difference. I don't think Justin Fields gets revitalized in
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
I hope
Chicago,
so,
but
I don't think so either. So
I don't see it. And I wasn't high on Fields. I think I've said this a bunch on here before. His whole attitude rubbed me so wrong in that QB1 show that I just think that there's something there in terms of like the way he carries himself that doesn't say leader and so I've never shaken that. So whether that's biased or unfair, because I think it was his senior year when that show was there. So he's 18. Mm-hmm. So this was pre-Ohio State. I just watched that show, and I've always said that, like, there's something quite not right. And I think there was a particular game where they were actually losing, and it was, like, blaming everyone on the sideline. 18-year-old kid, I get it. But, like, as a quarterback at 18, I want you now being Mr. Accountable, Mr. It's on me. I got to be better. I got to help my team. And I didn't see that watching that show. And I was editing all that. So, again, a caveat, it might be unfair, but that's how I feel about Justin.
Fields in a second. I'll let you finish, and then I'll retort on Fields after that, because I obviously have a lot of thoughts on Justin Fields. I haven't watched him probably too much in the last 3-plus years. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's a narrative, especially around here in New England. People were saying the last couple of weeks, you know, leading up to this, that, oh, the Patriots should go get Justin Fields. His ceiling's much higher. I mean, it's not an argument. Statistically, he has worse stats in the NFL than Mac Jones, who the Patriots just got rid of. And I hate Mac Jones. This is not a Mac Jones is better than Justin Fields. It's saying they're one and the same. He offers a little bit more from the run game side of things, but, like, His stats are worse, and I'm sorry, in Mac Jones' time here, he's never had the weapon that DJ Moore is. So, again, I don't think that there's really any real hope for Fields. But I'll say a story off the side, and I haven't seen if this has been updated or retorted or whatever, but I saw a story, like, almost immediately after the Russell Wilson trade
to Pittsburgh,
that they told Pickett that it would be an open competition, and he immediately demanded a trade. If that was true, what I read about a week ago now, loser. Absolute loser. Kenny Pickett,
It wouldn't be an open competition, though, because I kind of felt like they were kind of telegraphing to him. I mean, maybe this was read between the lines type of thing, but it was like, you know, wink, wink, maybe you'll get a fair shot at this, but, you know, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of felt like that was what was going on in the background there.
Do you deserve for it to be your job above all else? Again, I just, like, that to me is the entitled gen. I'm not going to be an old man here, but, you know, younger millennial Gen Z athlete who wants everything handed to him. Like, dude, you haven't been good. You've had two really high end receivers in your time here. You've got a first round pick running back. You've got a good tight end, like, and you have a good defense. Like, you haven't delivered at the level that you should have. At the level that they expect him to, or the level that a starter would. So, again, him, Mac Jones, this whole group of new-age bum quarterbacks in the last 2 or 3 years, I don't think that the world owes them something. I got no patience for it. So that's my big takeaway. Kenny Pickett, loser. Justin Fields, who cares?
Well, okay, that's fair. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett going to the Eagles, I don't think moves the needle at all. I do think, though, Justin Fields going to the Steelers does move the needle a little bit. And if nothing else, kickstart Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know if Russell Wilson's done or not. I mean, obviously he's super cheesy and I'm not a fan. And I know, Scott, you mentioned the entire high knees in the airplane. I'm like, come on, man, don't be a jerk. Everyone's trying to get some sleep. All right, go sit down, buddy, and chill out a little bit, you know? Yeah, but that being said, I think it does give him legitimate competition. You know, say whether that means bad things about Russell Wilson or good things about Justin Fields, I don't know. But it's legitimate competition for him. That's going to be – right, okay, that's fair. But, you know, this is the thing, though. Like, honestly, yeah, you're right. Mac Jones statistically, numerically-wise, was better than Justin Fields if you just count numbers. The fact of the matter is that if you look at their passer rating, they're almost identical over their career. Basically an 82.3 for Justin Fields and an 85 for Mac Jones. And if you go with QBR rating, then obviously Fields gets a little higher because of all the rushing yards. But, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, a dozen on one hand, two half dozens of another. On the other hand, not that much of a huge difference between them. The thing about Justin Fields is that I do kind of believe, like, think about the fact that DJ Moore is a good receiver. But he had a career-high year with Justin Fields. So I'm not saying that is Fields' fault, that he somehow made DJ Moore better. But I do think that there's something that he said there, that he can work in a system if it's the right system. I don't know if the Steelers is the right place for him or not. If nothing else, the Steelers got a pretty good deal on him. I mean, they basically gave a conditional 6. That's basically nothing, you know. I mean, that doesn't result in basically moving the needle anywhere. If Fields plays 51% of the snaps next year, it gets elevated to a fourth round. That pretty much guarantees that they will not play him for the first 10 games or first, you know, 8 or 9 games to make sure he doesn't get to 51%. They got Russell Wilson. They'll let him suffer through it for like eight or nine games, if it's, even if it's terrible. So I think that's what's going to happen no matter what. So it's a pretty good deal. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about Fields. I don't dislike him. I obviously had higher hopes for him in the NFL. I was a bigger fan of his at Ohio State than even the Ohio State fan amongst us. Scott, you've said all along when you want in being an Ohio State guy that he's not the guy. And it turns out that he's definitely not the guy for Chicago. So we'll see what happens there. Kenny Pickett, I don't think moves the needle at all. Jimmy G to the Rams, I don't think moves the needle at all either. You know, Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals, though. I know you wanted to talk about this, Scott, a little bit, but I mean, do you think that actually is? I mean, is there any potential here that Desmond Ridder sees any playing time in Arizona?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting one to me. I mean, Desmond Ridder was never going to be an NFL quarterback. I mean, I saw him in training camp a couple years ago, and I mean, it cost Arthur Smith his job. How they went into last year with him as a starter is just beyond me. But you know, Kyler's had a struggle. He's had health issues. They're probably very similar quarterbacks. You know, I think I'm a head taller than both of them, and so you know, they're playing similar games, so they don't have to change the offense. I think it's very viable that he ends up on the field some point this season. You know, again, just based on the injury history past, I would say. But kind of Ryan's point, none of these guys are lighting up any field anytime soon. If any of these guys are playing, it's because of injury or atrocious starting quarterback play.
Right. I did forget to mention one quarterback that did also move this week. Obviously, he shouldn't move the needle anywhere, but it's Josh Dobbs. I got to ask you guys, is Josh Dobbs the guy who, like, somehow manages to survive, like, three restructurings and, you know, he always ends up landing on his feet somehow? I mean, the guy seems to always just keep popping up, having two good games and then fading and then losing his job and then going someplace else. I mean, what do you think here? Does Josh Dobbs, signed by the San Francisco 49ers, obviously is not destined to start or maybe not even back up there, but he had a flash in Arizona. He had a flash in Minnesota. He's just kind of been just there. Anybody want to chime in on that one?
I think he's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Right?
Interesting.
I mean, the guy bounces around. He'll get some flash. He gets some good pub, gets a starting gig, loses it, makes another team, can play two games and not do terrible. So, I mean, he's an aerospace engineer, so I got to give him a little props
for
that.
True.
that's right. You know, I think he's somebody that can come in and give you some pop here and there. I think he'll be in the league for 10 years and go to work for NASA and just keep finding ways to stay on a roster.
Yeah, assuming NASA is still around in that many years, but yeah.
Yeah,
but Ryan Fitzpatrick, or SpaceX, right. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick probably is a little bit better than Josh Dobbs. And do you want to sound off here on Ryan about Josh Dobbs, or is this not worth your time?
Yeah, no, I think he's, a suitable journeyman. You know, you said, Scott said Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, the McCown brothers, the Hasselbeck brothers,
sure.
Like that's
yeah.
Kind of who he reminds me of. And like, you know, he doesn't, there's not a lot of net positive in his game, but other than he just kind of comes in and quietly does the job that's asked of him, and he's not somebody that's really controversial to take back the job when you need to and move on. So, like, that's kind of the purpose he serves. And I just had it in front of me, in 21 games, he's thrown, 13 interceptions. So he throws about one every, not an extremely, you know, problematic turnover rate, which is helpful for the guy trying to fill a role he is, which is,
yeah.
Inversely only has 15 touchdowns in that. So it's, again, he's like, the ceiling's not very high, but he's going to come in and play relatively, you know, mistake-free football and give you a chance to win. And both places he was at last year, both teams seem to rally around him a little bit. So I don't know him. I'm not in any of those locker rooms, but I'd assume he's a pretty good locker room guy. So
yeah, it sure seems that way.
Again, that's really what you're looking for out of that kind of a player.
Yeah, I mean, he had some great, some great social media. I know you're not following that stuff anymore, Ryan, but he had some great social media at the beginning of last season with the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm not under a rock.
We know that you're ancient now since you're calling out millennials and Gen Z. So But not as ancient as Scott and I. So
you don't want to carry that yet. You don't get years on the show here.
Yeah, you don't want to carry that. We can carry that one without a problem. No problem there. So I'll say this. One last thing is that the Steelers picking up another Bears castoff is pretty interesting. You know, they obviously took up Mitch Trubisky, who was drafted by the Bears in the first round in 2017. Justin Fields, who was drafted in 2021. That means that they will have Caleb Williams in 2028, I assume, is when they all end up being a Steeler, if all things hold true. All right, guys. Let's talk about the rest of the movement here, free agents and trades that have gone around. I'll name off a few. Don't feel like you're constrained to this, but a couple that hit my radar: Mike Williams joining the Jets, Keenan Allen to the Bears, Chase Young to the Saints, Jerry Jeudy to the Browns, and he's been extended for 3 years since, Tyron Smith to the Cowboys, Marquise Brown to the Chiefs, DJ Reader to the Lions, Curtis Samuel to the Bills. There's numerous others, but those are the ones that kind of popped out to me. I know, Scott, you wanted to talk about DJ Reader to your Lions, so let's start with him. What do you think about that move?
Yeah, I think, you know, in general, the Lions offseason has gone the way I thought it would, and there's been some Lions fans complaining that they didn't make a splash. And they obviously didn't listen to Brad Holmes at the end-of-season press conference when he specifically talked about not needing to go grab names and headlines and just filling out a roster. And I like my free agency period boring. It means your team's doing the right things, and they needed help in the interior defensive line. They had injuries last year, and they go out and they get, you know, one of the best in the league, and they just continue to do that. So to me, it shows me that, you know, they're staying true to what they want to do, both sides of the line, inside out, front to back. You build the team on defense, and they did that, and they plugged a huge gap in the middle of the defense, and I just really like the pick. I think it shows that they're not getting ahead of themselves, you know, making a run to the NFC Championship, and you lose, maybe you get off schedule and you try to do something you normally wouldn't and reach and try to make a big move, and they didn't, and I love it. It's boring. It's a defensive tackle. Awesome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's a very positive way of looking at it. I agree with that. I like my free agency period boring, too. I think that means that you're doing all the right things during the regular season and during the draft in the previous year. But anyway, Ryan, what do you think here? Again, I just named off a few of the guys that kind of popped to me. But any of those guys look interesting to you as far as where they moved to or from or anything else that you thought was interesting? Obviously, I didn't name any Patriots, but they didn't make any big splashes either. They basically picked up KJ Osborne, Austin Hooper, Jacoby Brissett, Chukwuma Okorafor, and then a few others here and there, but not any huge moves there. But anybody staying out to you as a big pickup or big movement in the free agency outside of those quarterbacks that we talked about?
Yeah, so I'll just co-sign quickly, too, on Scott's take. You know, I think the Lions approach this right, and DJ Reader is a huge upgrade in the need for them. And really, you know, they had a great season last year, and the offense is super talented. They just ran out of team on defense in the second half of that game. So both
right.
That defense is exactly what the Lions should be doing. So I love that move for them as well. And the other reason I love the move ties into my take about what I'm going to talk about here on the other side of this. Here's the secret that no one really wanted to talk about, because we all love this time of year so much. This free agency class sucked, and I don't mean the action or the movement or the news cycle of it, but I mean the player for player, this is a bad group this year, and it's a very, very talent-rich draft for those of us who pay attention and already do our draft analysis stuff. It's one of the things, one of the reasons why the wide receiver market was moving so slow, because even if you think Ridley's a number one, which I don't, or I know he isn't,
right?
The receiver pool sucks. And then, you know, from Adunze and your guy out of Texas, whose name's drawing a blank on right now, Marvin Harrison Jr., up and down. I mean, the receiver position is low. Offensively, this draft is super loaded. So, you know, I think that's the reason why we have so many bad signings. And I'm going to talk about the king of bad signings, in my opinion. And it's really more about the extension, and, you know, the extension part of this transition of Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. I mean, what are you doing? What are we? I mean, and again, it's hard to apples to apples compare contracts, and I couldn't find the AAV quickly enough, but just based on years, and then we're going to get into the guaranteed part of it. But 3 at 60 basically, or I think it was 4 at 60. 4 at 60 make, or no, it was 3 at 60. 3 at 60 makes Ridley. I mean, Ridley, Jesus, Jerry Jeudy, like a top 15 paid wide receiver. Like,
right.
This is a guy who Steve Smith was calling out on a national broadcast for sucking last year.
And
right. From a stat standpoint, he's never had 100 receptions. He's never even broken 70. He's never broken 1,000 yards receiving. And 11 career touchdowns. That's a 3 for 60 with 41 guaranteed guy? I mean, what are we doing? You know,
right.
And so, again, back to Scott's point, like, this time of year, people get stupid. And especially when it's a bad class, people get stupid over the wrong players, and I think it's super harmful. So I think that one is an absolute terrible move. I'm going to do just two others quickly. I just wanted to touch on one being I think Marquise Brown to the Chiefs is not worth mentioning other than he's going to now have a career year, and people are going to think he is what they thought he was, which he isn't. To me, he is a couple years younger, obviously. He's MVS. He's going to drop a ton of balls, especially at key moments. He's going to put big stats because he's going to be on an offense that's going to suit him, and he's got Patrick Mahomes throwing him the ball. But please, I'm already irritated. I'm pre-irritated at people telling me how good he is next year because it won't be about him. It'll be about what the people around him help do. So there was that. And then the last one I'll just touch on quickly. I love actually what the Falcons have done here. So I'll sprinkle a little bit of positivity. So Rondale Moore added to what they've already have there and what they've added in Atlanta. I think Atlanta's offense is going to be a ton of fun to watch next year.
Sure.
So I'm actually looking forward to that. I know Rondale Moore hasn't really lived up to what a lot of us thought he could be, but I think in that offense with Kirk, who loves to spread the ball around and some big time weapons around him, that they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I love that. I mean, obviously they also got Darnell Mooney in free agency, who we like, and they already have Drake London and Kyle Pitts there. So, and of course, Bijan Robinson. And I think when you said
Kyle Pitts, I mean, they're kind of sneakily loaded.
I don't even think it's sneaky. I think they're just loaded. But so when you said my guy from Texas, I'm assuming you're referring to Adonai Mitchell, who I have a big man crush on in the draft, as I've been talking about him for a couple weeks now. Obviously, last year I was Quinston Johnson. That never ended up being anything. So I don't take it for what it's worth, right? Grain of salt here. Just because I'm enamored with him doesn't mean he's going to be great in the NFL, but I do like what I see of Adonai Mitchell. Just so everyone knows, that is the correct pronunciation. I know it's spelled Adonai, but he said Adonai. That's how he said to pronounce it. So just don't come at me when you're thinking that I mispronounced his name. It's Adonai Mitchell. That's what he said. I'm sticking with it and taking it from the horse's mouth. All right, let's talk about a trade for the draft. We got a first trade for the draft already. Minnesota gets the number 23 and number 232 pick. In exchange, Houston gets the number 42, 188, and a 2025 second rounder. So for Minnesota, they now have two first-round picks. And then they have a smattering of other picks outside of that. I mean, actually quite a few picks. They have 7 additional picks, but all in later rounds, fourth round or later. But they do have the 11th and the 23rd pick now. As far as the Houston Texans, they've moved themselves out of the first round, but they stock up and they get a second rounder next year. What do you think about this trade here? I'll start with you, Ryan, since we've been going with Scott first. What do you think of this trade?
You're going to kill me when hosts aren't listening. Can you repeat the trade you just referenced?
Minnesota Vikings gets 2 first-round picks, 11 and 23. So they actually had 11. They traded for 23. Basically, what they're giving up is a late rounder, and they give up a second-rounder to Houston and a second-rounder to Houston next year. That's the part that really counts, right? They're giving up a second-rounder this year, early second-rounder, and they're giving up a second-rounder next year, and they're getting a number 23 overall pick this year. So they get the move up. They have 2 first-rounders now. Houston gets a plethora of second-rounders and more draft capital in 2025. What do you think of the pick? You think good move by the Minnesota Vikings and good move by the Houston Texans, or who won this?
I think it works for both teams. And I think that Texans roster is pretty loaded. Like I said, the first round gets all the hype, but that's why the NFL draft is better than any other draft, because There's always, you know, you can get impact guys in year one through the first three rounds, or you can find Puka Nacua in the fourth round. Like, that does happen. And so, if you're drafting guys in the top three rounds, you're expecting them to contribute year one. So it's not just about having first round picks. And I think for Minnesota, that gives them some draft capital to do some different things. Now, you know, if the board starts falling a certain way, they could come calling to the New England Patriots if they like who's sitting there at three and the Patriots aren't enamored and make that trade. You know, we'll give you the other two first, you know, the other two first for that. Or
that's what I think.
Other direction. Yeah. If they do hold on to Jefferson, which I know they should, but I think there's been, you know, we all acknowledge there's been a lot of talk this year about potentially moving on or using him to get trade capital, and they didn't have to do that here. So now assume you keep Jefferson and you keep, you have Jordan Addison, obviously. So now, you know, maybe you take a receiver in, you know, that top 11 area, you know, whether that's in the Harrison's going to fall that far, but neighbor or somebody else. And then later in the first round, if JJ McCarthy is still sitting there at 23 you want to, you know, maybe extend a little bit for Penix because you really do love his game. I guess you could put Bo Nix in that same conversation. I think Bo Nix sucks, but regardless, right. It just gives them an option now to address, you know, to if they can't, don't want to reach for one of those second tier quarterbacks at 11, but that's a good draft piece to have for trying to rebuild. So now you can invest that wherever you want, and now you still have a shot at that second wave of quarterbacks a little bit lower in the first round instead of, you know, praying that they're still there at 41, I'm doing that math wrong, 43, 44, whatever the 11th pick would have been overall in the second round, whatever their second round pick is. You know, you have an earlier shot at now, so you can address a couple of needs. So I really liked it for Minnesota because they're now in this group with everybody else, so you got to find that quarterback.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Houston obviously has the luxury of actually being on the upswing and not really having huge gaps that he can fill in the draft. And so, you know, getting more draft capital for 2025, I think that's great. Scott, I think we kind of pseudo talked about this earlier, but what do you think about this trade here between the Minnesota Vikings and the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I think it definitely puts Minnesota in position to make a move for a quarterback. And a story that's probably made its way around the internet and isn't too much of breaking news. The Vikings hired Josh McCown to be their quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McCown used to coach high school football. Do you know mm-hmm. who the quarterback was for his high school team?
I don't.
Drake May.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's interesting.
So the current conspiracy theory is that Minnesota is going to bundle these, move up and grab Drake May, reunite him with Josh McCown, their new quarterback coach, and everything works out like a movie. So definitely think they're going to make a move for quarterback. Maybe it's Drake May, maybe it's not, but definitely put them in position to do that for sure.
Yeah, I almost don't know how they would do it without actually trading with the Patriots. We already know the Commanders aren't going to give up their pick. They have their dead locked in here on grabbing a quarterback at number two overall. And we already know the Bears clearly are going to be taking Caleb Williams here in number one overall. So the question is who's going to get three? And I can't, you know, there is always the possibility that Jaden Daniels tends to slip, but I can't imagine he's supposed to 11. And I can't imagine that the Patriots don't take a quarterback if they're going to pick at three. But that being said, who knows? But I do think it puts them in a great position to move up and get it. And like I said, I think Houston doesn't need draft capital, so why not load up for next year? All right. That is the discussion of the first draft pick. There are probably going to be many more of those coming up. But let's talk about our teams, okay? Let's talk about our teams for a second. And I know, Ryan, you've since sworn off the Patriots. I'm still going to attribute the Patriots to you for now because you've been a long-time Patriots fan, and they have a chance to kind of make things good again coming up in this new year. It's a brand-new start for them, obviously. New coach, brand-new – it's going to be brand-new offense. They're going to have to get a brand-new quarterback, so it's going to be really interesting to see what they do moving forward. Scott, I'll start with you and the Detroit Lions. Lions actually have a plethora of picks right now. They have the, obviously, number 29 pick in the first round. They have the 61st pick overall in the second round. They got two third-round picks, a fifth, sixth, and a seventh. So they got plenty of picks to turn things around, seven in total. What do you think that the Lions will do in terms of their draft strategy?
Yeah, so it's pretty clear. We talked about it earlier. The defense was a big issue, back end of the defense, big issue. Corner is going to be a big item. There's some stories going around the internet of some alleged issues with the Lions corner. I won't get into it, but it looks looks pretty bad. If it turns out to be true, that they'll be in worse shape at corner. So they need to go defense, corners, linebackers. They also need to add some depth to the O-line, which they signed the guard out of off the Ravens, which helped. And they do need some wide receiver depth. So this, for the first time in the last 25 years, for sure, the Lions are building depth and filling needs and not just grabbing whoever's on the board because they're terrible. So, again, like free agency, I like it boring. Hope to see, you know, corners, linebackers, and some backup offensive linemen would make me happy.
Yeah, no, I could see that absolutely happening. It's a matter of just adding to what you got for the Lions. They're in a kind of a good position right now. They're not in the situation that my Bears are in, or Ryan, your Patriots for that matter. The Patriots have a first round pick, of course, a third overall, as I was just talking about. They have an early 30. They had the 34th pick and second round. And they got a third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, just straight on down the list here. So one pick per round. What do you think about the Patriots? A lot of places where you can go. What are your thoughts on how they're going to approach the draft?
Well, the long, boring answer here is, the Patriots elevated Elliott Wolf. They haven't given the title as GM, but he's running basically player personnel on the Patriots now. His dad, Ron Wolf, worked for the Packers in the 90s. There's they're all jokingly around here now talking about the Packer way, and the Packer way is to draft and develop. It's a big reason why the Patriots weren't all in free agency this offseason. I think it's that. I think it's, again, I think the free agency class sucked. That's not hyperbole. I really do think this is a bad free agency class. Most of the really talented players are older, and the younger players are just kind of mid players that are getting paid higher than they should, in my opinion. So, so I think you couple that, and then the Patriots are not a piece or two away, right? They're in kind of a long-term big rebuild. All of that, plus I guess one additional note is that there's been a lot of reports locally that they don't believe they were a four-win team last year. On offense, their best receiver, Kendrick Bourne, was done for the year by like week five or six with injury.
Yeah.
By the end of it, they had Ramondre Stevenson was on the IR. On the defense, Christian Gonzalez, their rookie first-rounder from last year, who was playing at elite level, went down for the year. Matthew Judon went down for the year early in the season. So it's like your two best offensive players and your two best defensive players. That coupled with two quarterbacks who were hell-bent on throwing the ball to the other team every effing chance they got last year. So
you're
I think
really
the Patriots think if Jacoby can just come in and not turn the ball over, and you have a rookie quarterback who can just sit on the bench and take the year off, a la a Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, like that's kind of the Packer development strategy of give the guy a full year.
Right.
That really they were probably more of a 6 or 7 win team last year. And with any luck, they can develop into an 8 or 9 win team this year and be a middling team and be happy with that. So I think as far as the draft goes, I mean, there's three huge positions in need on this team. The Patriots obviously need a quarterback. They need a wide receiver one, and they need a starting a tackle. One conspiracy theory locally is that Michael Onwenu is more of a right tackle, and they just paid him big money, like borderline left tackle money. Do you know which quarterback of the rookies throws left-handed?
I actually don't, not off the top of my head. No, I don't.
Michael Penix. So the thought is, are they, and they didn't sign a left tackle. So are they avoiding the left tackle and paying the right tackle big tackle money because he's actually going to be the one protecting the blind side because that's really who their guy is.
Huh.
I don't know. So there's that theory. I mean, my overall hopes for what they do is don't just take whoever falls to you at 3. That's what they did with Mac Jones at 15 a couple years ago. If they've identified that all 3 are great, okay. If they only think 2 are great and one of those 2 falls to them, fine. And if they only think 1 is great and he falls to you, fine. If that doesn't happen, then I do reach out to Minnesota immediately and say, give us 11 and 23 and you can have 3. You come take the quarterback. And then the Patriots could do something like, I do love the idea of pairing two guys who played together in college. So they go that route, Adunze mixed with Penix is something that I would personally love. Then address tackle depth later.
That'd
in the
be
draft
really interesting.
And on from there. So, I think in some way, shape, or form, the first 3 picks are going to be a tackle, a quarterback, and a wide receiver. I don't think they have a ton of holes on defense. They really shored up that defense this offseason, transition tagging Kyle Duggar, retaining Josh Uche, Matthew Judon coming back. People thought they might trade him for draft capital. They didn't, so he's here. Gonzalez is back. There's still a rumor floating around that they've had talks with Steph Gilmore, who would make sense as a veteran guy to bring back to strengthen that secondary a little bit more. So, yeah, that's the long and the short of it. I think that's the way the Patriots go in the end here, is they gotta add at premium positions. You know, Scott's team's in a much better position where he's touting the boring method, and I love the boring method, but the Patriots don't have that luxury because they're missing
right.
At three of the, probably the three most important positions in football. They don't have anybody, so their whole plan now is to draft and develop. So now you got to go draft, and they better be right.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'm sure that's exactly what they're going to do. It'd be fascinating to me, actually, and I agree. You don't want to just take whoever's there at three unless it's actually somebody that you've already assessed as someone going to be good for your system, somebody who's going to be long-term. You don't want to waste that spot. I don't want to say that in a cavalier manner, but you're at number three. You can use that draft capital for something else if you don't like the guy who falls to you, because I really do think it's going to be Caleb Williams and Drake May, one and two. I'd be surprised if it's not. I mean, the Bears have all but telegraphed they're going to take Caleb Williams, and I think that the Washington Commanders have talked themselves into Drake May. So I just don't see where else it's going to go with the number three overall pick. Tell you what, I love Marvin Harrison Jr. I really, really do. I actually had thoughts that if the Bears kept Justin Fields, and I know that might not have been all for the best, but I had dreams of Marvin Harrison Jr. coming to the Bears and being part of a really potent wide receiver room, but obviously that will not happen. That's impossible to happen. The Bears have only four picks in the NFL draft. Only four. I can't believe it when I went and double checked it. They have two firsts, the first and the ninth, and then they have a third and a fourth. That's basically all they got left, because they traded away basically all their picks this year in order to get a number of folks, including picking up Montez Sweat midseason, and picking up Ryan Bates back in the earlier on, and of course picking up Keenan Allen. So now we don't have any draft capital left. It's all in the top, and I don't think anybody's going to blink when they pick Caleb Williams one overall. I've been trying to talk myself into it. I'm not 100% sure. You know, I'm not 100%. I saw the pro day today. Caleb Williams obviously looks great, but everyone looks great in a pro day. If you look bad in your pro day, you obviously are terrible at your job. So I'm not taking that for any type of indication that he's going to be great in the NFL or that he was even great in college. I did watch him in college because I hate USC. That's one of the things that really going to hurt me, because I have to root for a USC guy in Chicago. But that being said, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the rest of that. I think right now there are a number of needs for the Bears. Quarterback, number one. After that, defensive end, defensive tackle. We could really use some help there. And then we need some wide receiver help. I think we've kind of talked about this. You know, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen is a nice start, but you need to have more depth than that. It's not going to do it. Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, obviously a good tight end tandem. We need a true wide receiver there, though, to run in that Z. So I don't know who we're going to get, and I'm not sure who you can get in the third round. I'm pretty sure even my man crush, Adonai Mitchell, is going to be gone by the top of the first or mid second, I assume. So they're going to have to get somebody a little bit deeper than that. We'll see how that goes. But I do think they're going to go quarterback. They're going to get somebody on a defensive line at the nine, and then they're going to probably take a wide receiver in the third round. And the fourth round is anybody's guess at that point. It really depends on what they ended up landing. They might get multiple wide receivers, see if they can get something to stick out there. All right. Well, that's all we got.
Do you think that they take that? Do you think they take that number nine pick and trade back into the second and third, maybe? Move up.
I thought about that, and I think they could, but if you have a really good, if you have like a Byron Murphy there, or even a Jerzlan Newton there, some defensive lineman who just is kind of standing out right now, I would probably want to take him at nine. Is my guess. I think they'd probably want to do that too, and not take any chances getting back, trading back to the second round. And I guess it depends also, like if one of the big wide receivers is sitting there left over at nine, let's say Rome Odunze is sitting there at nine. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody or Malik Nabers is at nine for some reason, you know, or maybe like one of the big tackles like Joe Alt is at, he's obviously the big tackle, or Brock Bowers even is at nine. Somebody really wants to give value for nine. I could see them trading back for sure, but I prefer if they take a good strong defensive linemen at that point and meet their needs, because that really does place the two biggest gaps they have in the team right now. All right, guys, guess what? Hitting the air horn on the show. We did a little bit of overtime there because there was so much to talk about in the NFL draft just around the corner. And we're going to be doing our mock draft, our 10th annual Twitter mock draft, coming up in about a week or so. So that, keep your eyes out for that. Follow us on Twitter or X. Don't sue me, Elon. And it'll be a lot of fun because we do it every year. And last year, I believe that in terms of positionality, we hit over 50%. Which was pretty good. And then we had at least, like, I think in the first round last year, we had like 6 or 7 exact picks, right? And so I thought, hey, listen, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying the group of us who do this picking is perfect, but I'm saying that we get darn close. So it's a fun time, and follow along as we do it in real time on Twitter. All right, that's the end of the show. And hey, Ryan, give us your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me at Ryan Whitfield NE. And though I've been accused of not paying attention to social media or current news at all, I would like to say before we go today that there ain't no way in hell any person on this earth, out of the gesture and kindness of their heart, no matter how much money they're making, would cover their friend's $4 million gambling debt. Shohei Ohtani is a liar, and there is a bigger story afoot there.
That is true. I cannot imagine that actually occurring. So that is very, very true. All right, what do you got here, Scott? Give us your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, hit me up at NFL Fantasy _more, NASCAR Full Swing, 5 for 5 races, cash in some DFS lineups. So if you're bored, come on over and we'll talk tire wear.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, they definitely do that because, hey, we got a lot of time to kill before the draft comes up. And if you aren't watching March Madness, man, you got a lot of free time. So, hey, listen, you can follow me. And by the way, Ryan has done this now twice, throwing out some local new news media stuff about bad things happening to athletes and derailing my clothes. So thank you, Ryan, for doing that.
Too. Both are MLB themes.
Both are MLB. That's true. Both are MLB shots. Wow, one
coming after the whole
both MLB shots. All right. Hey, guys, just real quick, thank you for listening and wasting time with us. We're brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off. Use garbage time at manscaped.com. And also brought to you by BetUS, 125% sportsbook bonus if you use the link in our podcast. Thank you for listening and wasting time with us. You can find me on God. See, now this is what you do, Ryan. You totally derail everything with this.
You want to talk about
Chapman
again?
I'm not talking about Chapman. I'm not going to touch that. And I know that you said that's what they should have told him. I know that. All right. So you can find me at FC Garbage Time on Twitter, X, or Football Garbage Time on Facebook. Until next time, enjoy your NFL week.